Welcome back to the Change Your Body, Change Your Life show, and this is your host, Bismarck Montiel, Coach Bismarck. And anyways, we're going to be talking today about more muscle building and fitness related topics, as opposed to, say, more mindset and psychology and the softer aspect of fitness. And so, specifically, what are we going to be talking about exactly? We're going to be talking about what is the best and most optimal rep range for building muscle, size, and burning body fat. And there's a couple of myths out there that I think should be dispelled. And there's a couple of truths in those myths that need to be contextualized. And also, we just need to understand what actually works, right? So, anyways, that being said, let me begin by breaking down the spectrum of rep ranges when it comes to lifting. Now, typically, that spectrum is going to consist anywhere between 1 to 20 reps. Normally, you're never really going to be talking about more than 20 reps for the average gym goer who's trying to build size and burn some body fat. And you'll find people on the camps of, say, very low rep ranges. Those are typically your power lifters who are, say, hey, you should be doing triples and doubles and doing strength sets and resting about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes with between each set. And you should be doing low reps, but lots of sets. On the other extreme end, you have guys who are more of the endurance camp, and they suggest doing 15 to 20 reps. So a lot of these guys are typically bodybuilders, and they suggest doing, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, he has set, or it might be Kai Green, I don't know which one, but one of them was very fond of doing 6 sets of 16 reps, a shit ton of volume, right? Now, those are the two extreme camps. And then you have some more moderate gym goers who suggest that 8 to 12 is something like the sweet spot, where it's not too heavy, it's not too light, and that's going to go ahead and increase the most muscle mass for both type A and type B muscle fibers. It's going to induce both our sarcoplasmic hypertrophy, which involves creating more fluid inside of the muscles, or also hypertrophic myofibrillar hypertrophy, which is an actual increase in the size of muscle fibers rather than the fluid in and surrounding them. So given that broad spectrum, right, the question is what should we do? Should we spend more time lifting very, very heavy weight for low reps and lots of sets? Should we go in the opposite direction and do lots and lots of reps, lower sets, and really focus on getting on that pump, like let's say a lot of bodybuilders might be fond of doing? Or do we fall somewhere in between? Well, there's something called the specificity principle. And what that means is that depending on what your goal is, you're going to want to go ahead and work in the rep range that's going to specifically help you achieve that goal. So for example, if you're a power lifter who's someone which is focusing on their singles, on the doubles, on the triples, on breaking records on the stage, then well, it makes more sense for you to go ahead and lift as heavy as possible and train like a power lifter. You're not going to be able to go ahead and hit 1,000 pound or 1,500 total across your 3 big lifts by benching 95 pounds or a 25 plate on each side for reps. You're just not going to be able to do that. However, if you're trying to pursue breaking those records by lifting very heavy, then yes, you will be able to do that. Now, on the other hand, if you're a marathon runner or a bicyclist, maybe it does make more sense for you to do some higher rep ranges of leg work, specifically in the hamstrings, because those are the muscles that you're going to be using when you're going for the distance, and you want to be using them and conditioning them, not for short sprints like, say, a football player or a 200-meter sprinter, but like a marathoner and a long-distance cycler would, because you are working for endurance, so you should work in the gym for endurance. That is the specificity principle. Now let's talk about that in relation to muscle building. So one big myth you might hear, for example, and maybe this could be useful as an illustration for what's best for muscle building and fat loss, is when people say that higher reps are going to help you get more cuts in the muscle and they're going to lead to more fat loss because of the more calories burned. Now, I don't want to go too deep into the biomechanical issues of that myth, but I will tell you this, that's not necessarily true. Just because you do a lot of reps doesn't mean that you're going to get more cut up. And in fact, what you'll notice is if you look anecdotally anyways, let's not even look at the research, but if you look anecdotally at lifters, you have lifters like, let's say, Mike Mentzer, he was more of a heavy lifter, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was a big power lifter-esque type of a lifter. Compare that to guys who are, say, Kai Green, who's more of a modern-day bodybuilder. Both guys got very big, right? Steroids aside. But both guys got very big, and they did it by doing two completely different styles of training. One was a lot more lower rep, and one was a lot more higher rep. So what does that suggest? If we were looking at an example, let's say the modern day of people who we could very much clearly say, we can 99% believe that they're a natty. For example, Brandon Carter or King Keto on Instagram, or Greg O'Gallagher from Kino Body. These guys are natural athletes. Now, they're not as huge as the bodybuilders because they're not on the juice, but they have impressive, amazing physiques. And Brandon Carter is someone who's very much vehemently opposed towards any sort of heavy lifting. He's not a big fan of, say, heavy deadlifts, heavy squats. Why? Because he just doesn't like those, given the fact that the risk of injury is a lot more higher. So I know we weren't going to delve too much into the research aspect of it, but let's just do a cursory, say, exploration of what the literature says. And the literature, as written by, in part, by Brad Schoenfield, one of the more preeminent scientists and researchers leading the way in muscle building, has shown that as long as there is enough tension on the muscle, whether it's high rep or low rep, muscle building will happen. What does that mean? It means that no matter if you're going very light or you're going very heavy, you still have to be able to create enough tension in the muscle. So if you're going to hit 18 reps, you better get to the point where you can't do 18 more. If you're going to do 2 reps, you got to make sure that it's heavy enough where you can go into 3 or 4 or 8 reps. In other words, it's not to say that you must train to failure, but you need to be lifting, whether you're in the higher, the mid, or the low rep range, with enough tension that it's a difficulty, that it's strenuous, that it is a challenge. And as long as you are challenging yourself and your muscles over time, you will grow. Now, that being said, we have to consider the overarching progressive overload principle, because that's what that ties into. And what is progressive overload? It just means that at every single workout, every single time that you go into the gym, you somehow get better. It can be in the sense of more reps. It can be in the sense of more sets. It could be in the sense of more time under tension by reducing your tempo. It could be better form. It could be increasing your range of motion. It could be trying a different variation of the same exercise. So a back squat versus a front squat versus a hack squat. But some way, somehow, you have to be able to apply the progressive overload principle by somehow getting better at every single workout. Doesn't mean that you have to do more reps every single workout, because especially as an intermediate and advanced lifter, you're not going to be seeing the numbers stack up like you did when you were just a beginner and you had no muscle development on you. However, maybe you can have better form. Maybe you can increase the time and the tension by slowing down your tempo. Maybe you can increase your range of motion because you're stretching more and your flexibility is allowing you to go into deeper movement patterns, right? So that being said, if the entire spectrum from 1 to 20 creates muscle building, right? Where do we prioritize our time? Do we prioritize it more in the lower or the higher or the middle? Well, let's talk about this theory, this bro science theory, I guess you could say, of muscle confusion. Sometimes some of us, and well, most of us along some point of our lifting careers, we've tried to confuse our muscles, because we intuitively understand that if we keep doing the same work in the same way, the muscle's gonna get used to it. And it makes sense, because if you do something more often, then it gets easier, right? For a variety of, say, biopsychological, neurological reasons. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Now, when it comes to lifting and progress inside of the gym, the main lifts that you should be doing 80% of the time should be the six main movement patterns, which are push, pull, bend, lunge, twist. I might be forgetting a few, but just for the sake of moving on. You want to spend most of your time benching, doing pull-ups, doing bent over rows, deadlifts, squats, dips, and variations thereof of those movement patterns. And then the other 20% could be a bicep curl, could be a cable crunch, it could be, say, a leg extension on the or a hammy curl, something like that, right? But the point is that given that principle that most of your time should be spent on the exercises that are going to burn the most fat, build the most muscle, and create the most health inside of it in the most the healthiest and most resilient and flexible body, then does that mean that every single day that you go to the gym that you should be switching things up? No, you want to stick to the foundations 80% of the time and sprinkle about 20% of the time other cool variations that you might find in the gym with cable machines, hammer strength machines, Nautilus machines, things like that. But what it does mean is that that's considered the adaptation principle, right? Which is if you keep on doing something, then the muscle's going to get used to it. What it does mean is that after a period of time, depending on the lifter, whether he's a beginner, an intermediate, or an advanced, we could say for an intermediate, it could be a couple of months, maybe say a mesocycle, which could be about a quarter in the year, or 3 months, 4 months, roughly speaking. You'll want to switch up the rep range that you're typically and predominantly working in. So, for example, I personally prefer higher rep ranges. Well, mid rep ranges. I like the 8 to 12, roughly speaking, 6 to 10. Typically, you won't see me going too light. You won't see me going too heavy. I don't like going too heavy because it's very taxing. It's difficult. And it's hard to, you know, week in, week out for me to try to do, you know, doubles on a squat and push up my numbers. I'm just not a fan of it, right? At least at this point in my life. And I don't like going so light either because I like saving time, and I find that the less reps I do, then the less time I'm spending in the gym, and I can be a little bit more time efficient. But that's a personal preference. However, there are times where I find like, hey, I've been doing mid rep ranges for a while now. That was me in my last bulk. And now that I cut, actually, no, I was doing mid rep ranges across my bulk and my cut. And now as I'm going into my next lean bulk, I'm moving more towards heavier bench presses, heavier deadlifts, heavier squats, doing more 4 to 5, sprinkling more 2 to 3 reps, partially because it's fun, partly because I know that my body is getting adapted to that mid rep range. And so I'm going in both extremes now, going very heavy and going very light as well. And that's where I'm going to be able to reap my reward. As for you, though, if you've been going very heavy, consider for your next mesocycle, your next 3 to 4 months, or consider for the next couple of months, going very light. Conversely, if you've been going very light, go very heavy and see what that'll do for you. And broadly speaking, regardless across your lifting, you should be doing a broad range of rep ranges. And I think that as long as you're not, say, an athlete, and given that this podcast is more geared towards general fat loss and general muscle building. Basically, if you want to change your body so that you can change your life, right? You want to look good, you want to feel good, and you want to have a great body, right? You have a lot more, say, what is it, margin to have fun around. And so, for example, with athletes, you're looking at more of a year-long periodization type of training where we have to plan the off season, the preseason, the in season, and the postseason. For you, I mean, there's a degree of periodization, but it's really just a matter of, okay, when are you cutting? When are you bulking? When are you maintaining? And that's basically it. And you have a lot more, you don't have a time pressure, you don't have a deadline unless it's self-imposed. And so you can have a lot more fun and more freedom and say 1 week going very light, another week going very heavy. But typically speaking, you're going to find that because of who you are as a person, you're going to gear towards more the heavier, the mid, or the lower rep range. And the action step for you, especially if you feel like you've been plateauing and you haven't been losing as much weight as you wanted before, is a couple of things. Number one, or building as much muscle as you would have liked before, is number one, ensure that whenever you are lifting, that there's enough tension, right? That the weight is actually heavy, where you're getting, you only have, or you're finishing with 2 to 3 reps left in the tank at the end of your sets. Not necessarily going to failure, but approximating failure. Number two, whatever the rep range you've been sticking around in for the past couple of months, go ahead and go in the opposite direction. And you're going to find that you're going to drive a lot more muscle gain, a lot more fat loss by going ahead and not confusing the muscles per se, but giving it new stimuli to which it has to adapt to in a way that's systematic and intentioned and conscious, rather than just, I don't know, running 2 miles on the treadmill, doing 30 push-ups followed by 10 burpees, 10 hack squats, and then doing a PR on the squat. That's not scientific, systematic, effective training. That's just you fucking around, for lack of better words, right? But don't fuck around, you know, be intentional with your training. And I hope that helps. So yeah, once again, whatever rep range you've been working in, do the opposite, because guess what? all those rep ranges work. If you're gonna build a well-established physique, you got to be able to explore in all different types of rep ranges and do the opposite of what you've been doing for the past couple of months. Signing off, this is Coach Biz. I hope that was exceedingly helpful for you, and power to you.